Hi, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not enjoying our haunting episodes of The Grave Talks, I invite you to check out our true crime and disaster podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of Dark Side of Wikipedia. June Lin, also known as Justin Lin, was an international student from Wuhan and an undergraduate in the Engineering and Computer Science facility at Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. He was also murdered by Luca Rocco Magnata. Today, the dark story of the connection between Luca Rocco Magnata and this unsuspecting victim, June Lin.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
In 2012, June Lin was murdered by Luca Rocco Magnata, who nailed his hands and feet to elementary schools and federal political party offices. After a video depicting the murder was posted online in May of 2012, Magnata fled from Canada, becoming the subject of an Interpol red notice and prompting an international manhunt. In June 2012, he was apprehended in Berlin while reading news about himself at an internet cafe. In December of 2014, after 8 days of deliberations, a jury convicted him of first-degree murder. He was previously sought by animal rights groups for allegedly uploading videos of himself killing kittens. So today on the Dark Side of Wikipedia, yes, this is the story of the binge-worthy Netflix docuseries over the summer, Don't Fuck With Cats. It is the story of the tragic death of June Lin and Luca Magnata, and we're going to go into it through the Wikipedia entry, and we're going to be reading through June Lin's entry, which really, I mean, sadly, for the most part, this is an individual who died, but his entry and the reason for his fame, you know, and his life ending so soon is because of the hands of Luca Magnata and the murder that took place. So it really covers not just his life, but it covers the murder. It covers the dark story of Luca Magnata, which is just, if you haven't seen that documentary, this is not an advertisement for it or anything. I was compelled after I saw it. I'm like, this would be a very interesting one to discuss on Dark Side of Wikipedia. So I thought, let's dig this one up. Tony and Sean joining you for today's episode of the program. Any familiarity with the case?
I don't have any. And the real question I have, if I listen to this show today, of this episode, mm-hmm. is it going to be a spoiler alert had I not already watched the Netflix series? Will I find out information that I'm waiting to find out watching Netflix?
Well, considering you know nothing about the case, yeah, you'll certainly find out information you were unaware of. Are you going to find out things that were not in the Netflix documentary? I honestly don't know, because when I grab the Wikipedia entries, I don't read through them. I just kind of get them ready for air, and then I read them on the air, and I get sometimes just as surprised as some of the audience, where sometimes there's little details in here that just landed on the cutting room floor, and you never heard about it in the docuseries. But it's an interesting, very dark, dark case, and we'll jump into all the details. It starts out with a weird guy on the internet killing cats. And that's what sparked all of this rage in people trying to figure out who he was. And then slowly but surely, he ends up killing a human being on camera. And there's this alter ego that he seems to believe is another person that's trying to convince him to do these things, who doesn't truly exist. It just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. And I swear, as we read some of these newer entries, some of these newer cases, as opposed to like H.H. Holmes or even Jeffrey Dahmer, which are absolutely horrible, horrible people, the level of twistedness that some that people seem to have when you mix technology with their ability to kill is truly strikingly disturbing.
Can't you just stick to being a person that goes out to a club, starts flirting with some young boys who you find attractive, then just drill holes into the side of their skulls, put a little acid, wait for them to pass out, have a little fun, then kill them, and then have them for breakfast the next morning?
Yeah, the old school way.
Why you gotta fuck it up?
Why do you have to involve people chasing you? Why can't you just do it?
I gotta kill kittens. What'd the kitten do?
It's a horrible thing. And obviously, you know, the joke is meant in a satirical way, but it's just so fucked up. I mean, the level as to which people's neuroses and sociopaths, you know, what they can do. It's like their toolbox of what they can use now is so vast. We're just seeing the worst. I mean, it's not that horrible people are new to the earth. There's always been horrible people. But when you add all these new tools as to which they can fuck with other human beings, it's just like, oh my God, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people. It's like, some of these people are just out there directly in the open doing these things, and how they get away with it for so long is baffling.
I don't know if you are the type of person as I, when you find out people that have taken human life, but to then find out that they were also killing animals.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that animals are more important than humans, or not to say that killing an animal is more inhumane than killing a human. But sadly, personally, yes, I believe so. And human life, losing it, absolutely tragic, terrible, horrific. Oh, my goodness. But I almost hate and not enjoy people like this who have also done bad things to animals more than what they did to humans. I'm not sure what that says about me, but that's fucked up.
Well, it's, and I'm not comparing here children to kids, but it's the defenseless part of it. You know, obviously, killing a human child is worse than killing an animal. You know, neither are good, neither are condoned, neither are wonderful things, they're both horrible acts. But it's what I'm talking about here is the principle of the defenseless. You know, when someone murders a child, you're murdering something that has no chance. They are defenseless against you. Same with most animals, unless we're talking about like a saber-toothed tiger or something that could kill you. When you're killing just innocent cats, dogs, things like that are house pets, there's something so fucked up within you that I personally don't see any purpose to these people living. I don't see any purpose to, once you're convicted, once you admitted doing this, once the evidence is there, like you're on fucking videotape doing it, why are we even spending the money putting you in the prison system? Why?
And as you find out more, it's very interesting, depending upon who they killed, what it really shows about them as far as being insecure, mm-hmm. or were bullied, or just... It's one thing if you kill a coworker, you were mad at them, you had some vendetta, you went to work one day, dead. It's another thing when you kill kittens and you select your people that you're going to kill based upon your persona and how you were from probably a very early age.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And unfortunately, the system works in favor of the predators. Because you can sit there and in this case, there was tons of warnings about this guy, about Luca Magnotta with the kitten killing. And this is the guy, he's doing this. And at the end of the day, it was like, well, it's cats. You know, it's like, this is not normal. There's something not right with this person. This is going to evolve into things beyond cats. Well, there's nothing we can do until it happens. And that's how our fucking systems work throughout most of the civilized world. A lot of it is you have to wait until someone crosses that line, that imaginary line that somebody else set. And once that line is finally crossed, then we can do something. But then you got to find the person first. Meanwhile, you may have already had them in your custody, but we'll let them free and just see. Let's just see what happens. And for people like like us, people like me, that just you can, I'm not psychic. I can't predict the future, but I can make a fucking judgment call on somebody pretty goddamn quick when they're fucking killing cats or anything, really. When you look at their behavior, I can tell you with pretty good certainty what the future has in store for this individual. Maybe not exactly the time and place of what they're going to be doing, but within within 5 years, what this person will likely have accomplished within their own fucking demento world. And most people, I think a lot of people can see that. But I mean, you can't arrest somebody for crimes they haven't committed. But I think maybe we need to put higher weight on some crimes that that maybe don't have the weight that they should, because they are such large warning signs of what the future holds for them potentially and their future potential victims. Let's continue into the story of the murder of June Lynn and Luca Magnotta. June Lynn, known also as Justin Lynn, was born December 30th, 1978. Lynn was an international student from Wuhan and an undergraduate in the engineering and computer science facility at Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Lynn had been studying in Montreal since July of 2011 and had worked part-time as a convenience store clerk in Pointe St. Charles. He moved into Griffintown area apartments with a roommate on May 1st, 2012. Luca Rocco Magnotta was born Eric Clinton Kirk Newman on June 24th, 1982, in Scarborough, Ontario, son of Anna Yorkin and Donald Newman. He was the first of their three children. According to him, his mother was obsessed with cleanliness, would routinely lock her children out of the house, and once put her children's pet rabbits out in the cold to freeze to death. His father was diagnosed with schizophrenia in 1994, after which he divorced Magnotta's mother, leading Magnotta to move in with his grandmother, Phyllis. Magnotta attended I.E. Weldon Secondary School in Lindsay. In 2003, he began to appear in gay pornographic videos, occasionally working as a stripper and an escort. He appeared as a pinup model in a 2005 issue of Toronto's Fab magazine using the pseudonym Jimmy. In 2007, he was an unsuccessful competitor in OutTV's reality series Cover Guy. He had multiple cosmetic surgeries and auditioned for the Slice Network television show Plastic Makes Perfect in February of 2008. Early criminal activity in 2005, Magnotta was convicted of one count of impersonation and three counts of fraud against Sears Canada, The Brick, and a 2001 audio video. After impersonating a woman to apply for a credit card and purchasing over $10,000 worth of goods, he pled guilty and received a 9-month conditional sentence with 12 months of probation. He legally changed his name to Luca Rocco Magnotta on August 12, 2006. Magnotta declared bankruptcy in March of 2007, owing $17,000 in various debts. The bankruptcy was fully discharged in December of 2007. Magnotta created many profiles in various internet social media and discussion forums over several years to plant a variety of claims about himself. One such rumor emerged in 2007, claiming Magnotta was in a relationship with Carla Homolka, a high-profile Canadian convicted murderer. Though he denied this in a subsequent interview with the Toronto Sun during the murder investigation, Montreal police announced that the pair had dated but soon retracted the statement, acknowledging that they had no evidence to corroborate the claim. As with Homolka and the relationship, Magnotta repeatedly denied the claims that he had planted as hoaxes and part of a campaign of cyber-stalking against him. Police stated that Magnotta set up at least 70 Facebook pages and 20 websites under different names. Lynn was last seen on May 24, 2012, and his friends reported getting a text message from his phone at 9 p.m. His boss became suspicious when he did not show up for his shift the next day. Three of his friends went into his apartment on May 27th. He was reported missing the police on May 29th. On May 25th, 2012, an 11-minute video titled One Lunatic, One Ice Pick was uploaded to bestgore.com, depicting a naked male tied to a bed frame being repeatedly stabbed with an ice pick and a kitchen knife, then dismembered, followed by acts of necrophilia. The perpetrator uses a knife and fork to cut off some of the flesh and gets a dog to chew on the body. During the video, the 1987 New Order song True Faith plays in the background, and a poster for the 1942 film Casablanca is visible on the wall. Canadian authorities obtained a more extensive version of the video and said cannibalism may have been performed. Materials promoting the video appeared online 10 days before the murder took place. In May 26, 2012, an attorney for Montana Magnata attempted to report the video to Toronto police, his local sheriff, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, but the report was dismissed by officials. That's the preview. If you want to hear the full episode, be sure to subscribe to Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. That's Dark Side of Wikipedia.